Look, this, first of all, people have a lot of different questions about this and about this whole business about unemployment. California, believe it or not, processed 4.7 million claims, came out to about $12.3 billion right now is what's been paid out. The EDD is, quite frankly, is overdrawn. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money there that's gone out. So we're going to have to see what happens with that. Now, let's talk about the complication to this is that when the legislators all did this, they were haphazard with it. They're flying by the seat of their pants. They're throwing all of that stuff out there. So it just, it really created a bad situation. Now I'll give you an example. A person can collect unemployment, and I'm going to read these to you because I want you to hear every one of these bullet points. If the person turns around and self-certifies means, hey, you know what? I have contracted this virus. All right? They don't need anything else other than that to be able to collect unemployment. That's what we mean by self-certify. Here's how that happens. The individual has been diagnosed with COVID-19. The next one, a member of their household has been diagnosed. The individual is providing care for a family or household member who has been diagnosed. A child with the school situation, which I'm sure you know. The individual is unable to reach a place of employment because of quarantine imposed. Okay, a quarantine is imposed. That's a lot different than a lockdown. The individual is unable to reach a place of employment because the individual has been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine. The problem we have with some of this is that anybody can call the employer and say, oh, my doctor told me that I need to self-quarantine because I called him and told him I've got a cough, I've got a this, I've got a that. I mean, that's just how simple it is. They even have it accountable for it. Like if a person was getting ready to start employment and now it's stopped, okay, doesn't have a job, they're going to be eligible. The individual has become the breadwinner or major support for a household because the head of the household has died as a result of COVID-19. There's only a couple more. The individual has to quit their job as a direct result of COVID-19. The individual's place of employment is closed, and that's the majority of the ones that are out there in terms of the claims. So if the individual meets any additional criteria established by the Secretary of Unemployment Assistance under this section, which means it's just wide open. We've been receiving claims very easily at the rate of 300 a day. We've processed probably pretty close to 15,000 claims for our clients. And I will tell you the majority of them are saying about the COVID-19. Now, here's the other part to this. If a person left your employment and went to work for somebody else, we'll say, and now they got laid off on that job, now they come back and file a base period claim, we have to protest. We got to contact the employer to find out, okay, why did they leave you, even though you weren't the last employer? So I know some of you have been getting a lot of calls or emails from us. Colleen, I know you've been getting them, right? Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's, and probably you too, Alin, because I've seen the claims coming through for you guys as an example. Now, the problem is being presented, and I heard Mitch McConnell a couple of hours ago talking about this, that there's going to be a fourth stimulus package. The Democrats want to include leaving that $600 on top of the regular weekly benefit amount in there. The other side of the aisle is saying, hell no, because we're already finding out the people are collecting more staying at home, so the employer is having a problem getting these people to come back to work. So when the employer calls them on the recall, they turn around and say, hey, I'm making more money staying home. So that's one of the major issues. Now, let me tell you what we're doing. When a person refuses a recall, you've got, for those of you that are clients, you've got to let us know. For those of you that are non-clients, what you have to do is notify the EDD that the person has refused the recall. The EDD is going to be very happy to cut the person off. Why? They're running out of money anyway. And if they refuse the recall when they have available work, end of story for them. So then you end up getting somebody calling you back that turns around and says, okay, I'm ready to come back to work now because they've cut off their money. Now, the amount of money. Now, one of the questions I got was, and I got this from several people, how does all the EDD claims affect, you know, the company financially? Now, look, we are getting messages that the EDD is going to forgive the claims for COVID-19. So for those of you that are seeing claims, now, you know, I tried to go on the EDD website. It's not on there. It's from other sources that are saying that this is what's going to happen. So there's some speculation. Now, where I got my information from was based on a legislative analysis out of Sacramento. That's the one that's saying that this is what it's going to be. I haven't been able to verify it. So it's what's going to happen. All of these claims, 99% of the claims that we're getting, you could tell that when they go online, there is a specific code that says laid off COVID-19. I think is what's going to happen is that the EDD at some point, when all of this settles down, they start trying to figure out the reserve accounts, that code, let's just say it's code 1 or code 19. Anything for code 19, that amount of money is not going to come out of the reserve account. That's what I think is going to happen. But again, I'm looking to be able to substantiate that, which is great for the employer, obviously. Now, just to let you guys know, the way that the state determines the unemployment tax rate, the cutoff is at the end of June. So even if somebody's collecting after June, those dollars have nothing to do with the calculation of your tax rate that's going to come out in the fall. So if somebody's collecting longer, because with the extended benefits, where somebody can collect up to 39 weeks. Now, understand that if the state is not going to forgive, then those monies are going to come out of the reserve accounts. And again, I just don't see them doing that. They can collect up to 39 weeks if they don't come back to work. So the additional money for the 13 weeks above the 26 weeks that an employer normally would be responsible for is being paid by the federal government. So that's money that's not going to come out of your pocket, basically. All right? So when they get ready to calculate the tax rates in the fall, the cutoff is, in fact, June 30th. The downside to that is if they don't cut off that money and you still have people collecting after June 30th, it's going to impact your tax rates the following year as well. So it's split between the 2 years at that point, which, quite frankly, is not a bad thing. So part of the problem is to determine where an employer is financially in their reserve accounts, you know, before all of this hit. And that's how it's going to impact. It's the only way that it can impact. Our job, okay, and is what we've been doing, is trying to get all of this information into the system so that if an individual is collecting and working at the same time, because sometimes people do that as well because they were out of work, they're short on money, they're behind on their bills, they continue to collect money. Our job is to audit the claims, if there's no forgiveness by the state, to audit those claims to make sure individuals are not being overpaid. All right? So to answer the question, how is the dealerships being, impacted financially? It's still going to be up in the air. It's a hard question to answer. If the EDD forgives the claims, then the only claims that you have to be concerned about are those claims that were like the quits, and depending on why they quit, or the discharges for misconduct, because we are getting those as well. We have clients that did not shut their doors, so we're getting a mix of claims. Well, although the majority of them have to do with COVID-19. Does anybody have any questions so far? Okay. Now, the question that's been presented also is about how do you reduce your experience, okay? You can't reduce the experience. But California doesn't operate off of 1 year in the calculation of your unemployment tax account. They actually go back 3 years, guys, all right? And that's how they do it. There's a formula. We have the formula, and we verify your tax rates every year. So basically is what the state does, and this is a little technical, but it's what the state does, because the whole system for unemployment is an experience rated system. So it's what they do. They'll look at your payroll, your taxable payroll that you've submitted for the last 3 years. And they take those totals and they divide it by three. All right, is the way that it works. So that they get your average base taxable payroll. Your taxable payroll is determined on the first $7,000 of the wages of your employees. Once a person has made over $7,000, you're not paying anything more on their unemployment. It's only on the first $7,000. So let's just say you've got a 3.5 tax rate. So you got Jim Potts that works for you, 3.5, okay, on his first $7,000, end of story, that's it. Even if I worked the rest of the year. So if I made $28,000 a year, you could see four divided into 28,000 is $7,000 each quarter. What you have to pay for me is satisfied in the first quarter. When you have turnover, and now you hire another Jim Potts because you let me go in the first quarter, now that $7,000 for that same position, you got to pay it again. Because that person is now on board with you. So that's why turnover is never a good thing. And those are the kind of things that can impact the reserve account. All right? Now, once they get that three-year average, all right, there's a formula. I can't give you the formula just over the phone, but, I mean, over this thing. It creates a ratio. And we look the ratio up on a chart that we have. That chart tells us, based upon that ratio, what your tax rate is. So that's why we do what we do. And that's why we audit those reserve accounts, because it's a dollar-for-dollar system. So we watch every single dollar that comes out of that reserve account to make sure that it's a valid dollar. I mean, we've had situations where we've done an audit, and we found it was a $10 mistake that actually sent the employer's tax rate down to the next level. Let's say they save 0.2 because of that. That 0.2 times your taxable payroll could have been, you know, thousands of dollars. All right? So that's what's important about it. So that's why we're telling people that if, in fact, you're getting any claims, you should be forwarding those claims to us so we can enter them into our system. For those of you that are non-clients, okay, just understand that you will get, in the fall, you will get a statement of charges with all of the people who collect it. Again, if the state forgives it, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be as bad. It'll be based upon your own experience, okay, with the quits and the discharges, you know, versus the pandemic. So you need to look at those statement of charges. Now, here's where it gets a little bit more complicated. There's a formula that's involved that determines how much a person is eligible to collect. So let's say, you know, Colleen works for me, and she's eligible for X numbers of dollars, all right? So if she's eligible for X numbers of dollars, that's the number that we enter into the system. We then look at the number that the state gives us. And also we determine by the number of weeks, okay? But anyway, so now we look at that, and let's say Colleen should have collected a maximum of $3,000. But the state sends us something that says Colleen collected $4,000. Is what we have to do is then notify the state that Colleen collected an extra $1,000. So that's another protest that we do that you guys never hear about, because we got to send that to the state. The state takes that as an appeal, and it goes to a tax hearing. So we do tax hearings as well. Again, that's the part the client never sees. We go to those tax hearings, the EDDs, us against the EDD. We show the EDD, hey, this lady collected more than what she was supposed to. Or the way that we audit, let's say that the person was denied benefits. They were denied benefits or granted benefits. We appeal it, take it to a hearing. The judge reverses in our favor, but the EDD never credits the money back to your account. That shows up, because we have a firewall there. It'll show that up and say, it was reversed in our favor, and you never put the money back in the reserve account. So there's a lot of moving parts to unemployment. So when you say, how do you get impacted financially, or, you know, the your experience rated account, there's a lot of moving parts to it. Now, another question. Anybody have any questions about, I mean, that's technical stuff. Does anybody have any question about that?
Yes, I do. On the, you're saying that we get a statement of charges for the, all the claims. Is it individual right. itemized charges? Okay, so that must go to your office. I've never seen
it. That's right. We are the address of record. So the address of record is who gets that statement of charges. We have to get it because when we look at it, I go through the process I just told you. You getting it's not going to do you any good. You can get it and look at it and say, oh, yeah, according to your records, oh, yeah, Jim was denied. Sally was denied. Oh, yeah, John got benefits. What you can't do is verify the dollar amount that goes next to their name. We have to be able to do that because we have a formula in our system that goes through and makes those calculations.
Okay. And then my next question is, you were saying that they take it out of our personal reserves, out of our company's reserves. Does that ever go negative in a year to where we pay them money and do they send us a bill? How does that work?
Oh, yeah. On your unemployment tax rate, you've seen your unemployment tax rate, right? The form that comes out every year?
Okay. Yeah.
When you get that, it tells you what your what your tax rate is. If you look on that form, you will see whether or not you're overdrawn at the bank. Because it'll show you, as an example, if you're 6.2, actually if you're between, I think, what is it, 4.5, 4.7 on up, you're negative, which means you've paid out more than you've paid in. Now, depending how negative you are, it could be a while before you come back to positive. That's why something like this, if the EDD does not forgive this, those reserve accounts are going to go negative probably for years, and you'll be paying at the maximum amount of 6.2.
Okay.
So we're hoping that the EDD does what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other kicker. The other kicker normally is what happens when they're calculating the unemployment tax rates is that, let's just say, forget the pandemic for a second. Let's say everything is equal. You got your employers out there. It's a day-by-day basis. People are collecting. People are not collecting. But you have some employers out there that have negative reserve accounts. Mm-hmm. They're overdrawn at the bank. The state doesn't pay that money. You do. Is what they do is divide all of those negative accounts up. They total it all up. They take all of the positive accounts in California, and each employer in California pays a proportionate share of all of those negative reserve accounts out there. On the flip side, let's say you have a company that goes out of business and they have money left in their reserve account. They don't give that back to the employer. Once again, they'll take all of that positive money, divide it up the same way, and give all of the employers a proportionate share of that as well. So that's how we go through and calculate. We take that form and go through it and do the numbers based upon everything that we have, and we figure out what your unemployment tax rate is to make sure. We found about a 10% error ratio each year with the calculation of the unemployment tax rate for employers in California. They make mistakes. And I'm going to tell you, the EDD is so backed up. We are getting claims, as an example, we are getting claims that the due date will say is May 15th. The EDD postmark on the envelope, let's just say, I'm just throwing number, let's just back up. Let's say that the due date was April 15th. All right, that was the due date. You had to respond by April 15th. We're getting mailings from the EDD for that claim on May 1st, 2 weeks after the employer had to respond to it. That's how backed up the EDD is. So what we do, we save the envelopes, and they're attached to the claim. And if it's a protestable claim, we protest it. And if we have to go to a hearing on it, we'll go to a hearing that says, look, here's the envelope, here's the date. And that's how we win them. A lot of work goes into that, but that's just the way that it is. Now, any other questions? We have another question here. We have people that are back to work that the EDD is still filling out or still giving them the debit cards each week with money. Look, we're hearing a lot of that. EDD doesn't know what the hell they're doing. They're shorthanded. There's a lot of claims. There's a lot of money. So first of all, if an employee comes to you and says, look, they're still sticking money on this card, my advice to them is what? Don't spend it. Right. Now, you know there's going to be some greedy people out there spending it because our job, once again, is to do what? Notify that there was a recall for that person. So eventually it's going to catch up to them, okay, because the EDD is going to say, wait a second, this guy, oh, wait a minute, we're still sending him his money. He owes us. Now, they already need money. They're going to go after that money. So the smart thing for those individuals to do is not spend the money. But again, there are people out there that are going to do it anyway. All right? Now, here's what happens when there's overpayments. Our job is to have the EDD put the money back in your account. For those of you that are not clients, is what you need to do if there's overpayments is send a letter off to the EDD. Forget calling the EDD, guys, okay? You send a letter off, okay, and request that the money be put back into your reserve account. If they don't do it, then you appeal it, and you just take it to a hearing. That's what you have to do. Now, on the overpayments, the state, they talk about fraud. All this stuff that's going on right now, they want to talk about fraud. They want to talk about all of these things. Here's the deal. I don't care whether they catch the person, make them pay it back, or anything. Our job is to make sure that they put that money back in your reserve account. If they put it back in that reserve account and you never get the money back from the other person, I could care less. All right? And I'm going to tell you, in my years of doing this, I've seen sometimes where they just let it go. All right? And I've seen where they've gone after people. All right? So I've seen it both ways. Considering this pandemic and how backed up these guys are, it could be years before they catch up with these people. Who knows? It could be years to get that money back. Now, a common question that we get is, hey, we got people we don't want back. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of employers are using this time to weed out the bad ones. I'm just telling you flat out. Okay. Colleen, you're not the only one, trust me. Okay, they're out. But here's what you do. Now, whether they were on furlough or whether they were called a temporary layoff, don't worry about that. If you don't intend to bring them back, there's no legal requirement for you to bring any of these people back. And believe me, they're not gonna care. They're getting that extra money. The time to do that is now, because that extra $600, guys, it runs out. I think it's either at the end of June or at the end of July, one of the two. But it's coming up, okay? I'm trying to remember. It's either June or July that's coming out, okay? So at this point,
I heard they extended it to December 31st. The extra $600.
Well, right now it's till July 31st, okay? And if they extended it till the end of the year, then they've extended it to the end of the year. But that's what's important about the recall, because they're going to want to stay home. All right? This is what Mitch McConnell was talking about. But let's talk about get back to the other person. So it's what you do, because they were either on a furlough or they were temporarily laid off. If you laid them off without a classification, fine. Forget about it. There's no legal requirement to bring them back. So if you want to do some quote-unquote restructuring because of the changes employers have had to make because of the pandemic, you see where I'm going with that? So we're doing some reorganization, and unfortunately, you have not been selected to return. That's all you have to do, or if they contact you, all you have to tell them. Makes it very simple. And believe me, if they're getting another extra $600, majority of them are not going to care. They're going to keep collecting. All right. Questions? And I did hear about the fact that they were talking about extending it. Has that been made official?
No.
Because we hear so much about it.
Jim, it's still 6:30, and the House approved the extension for an additional 12 weeks. And then somebody else came up with another bill proposal to extend it out to the end of the year. But neither of those two proposals have been approved yet by the Senate.
Right. It's just pending, right?
Both are pending.
Right. Right. Well, first of all, if we're talking about the $600, that's why Mitch McConnell was talking about the fact the House is trying to push that. But the Senate is not in favor of that. So I suspect it's not going to happen. All right? Because Mitch McConnell, like I said, I heard him a couple of hours ago. He's saying the problem is we can't get people to go back to work. If you can't get people to come back to work, it impacts the economy, okay? And it's a drain on the system the way that it is. So I'm not trying to get into the politics of this, but the House knows doggone well that the Senate's not going to approve this. So I think it's a political thing that they're doing with that. So the Democrats later on can say, we tried to get you more money, and the Republicans wouldn't give it. And that's what I think is going on. So I don't think it's going to happen that way. So I think it's going to be ending at the end of July. So that's why I would encourage you, anybody that you're not intending to bring back, that you had classified either as a temporary layoff or on furlough, I suggest you cut those ties as quickly as possible. All right? Because once they run out of that money, they're going to want to come back. Okay. Let's see here. Now, one of the things that we have to talk about is potential liability. Look, these plaintiff attorneys out there right now are starving like everybody else. When this is all said and done, some of these individuals are going to be looking for lawsuits. Now, I already saw the first one because I look at all of the cases filed in L.A. County. I get a list every single day of all of the cases that are filed in L.A. County. And I came across my first one about a week ago on COVID-19, and it had to do with benefits, that the person was cut off from their health care benefits. So that's, and of course, wage and hour was attached to it because all of a sudden they didn't get paid the way they were supposed to get paid. I mean, everything in the state is wage and hour. But COVID-19, okay, was mentioned because of the fact that retaliation and the fact that the employer turned around and cut off their health care benefits. So the question that we get, one of the questions we get is, you know, about continuing with the health care benefits. Well, if you made the decision to lay them off, then it's what you need to do, okay, is give them the COBRA information. You got to let them know. All right. Now, most of the health care benefits are paid a month in advance anyway. And that's why we were telling clients initially, because we didn't know exactly how long this was going to be. Since you're paying in advance, you've already paid that first month anyway. But if it looks like you're not going to bring them back, then you got to put them on COBRA and let them know that the relationship is over. So one of the things that we're concerned about, okay, with the legal pieces of all of this, and there's a couple of them. Just remember, under California Labor Code, Section 6300, all right, that's under OSHA. That has to do with OSHA. And that has to do with the fact that sometimes the calls we're getting is that people are freaking out if somebody's coughing, sneezing, or whatever the hell it might be. Then right away, oh my God, do they have the virus? All right. Well, the labor code is very specific that you have to keep people in a safe environment. These employees that want to freak out just because somebody is coughing, and now we find out, by the way, if you listen to the CDC, that the surface may have the virus, but it can't be really transmitted. It's only transmitted by somebody you know, person to person and not off of surfaces. So we might see more and more people now being recalled back to work as well. But anyway, if you send the person home because they apparently have respiratory symptoms, et cetera, then you're going to be obligated. And if they call in, because this is the other thing we get calls that somebody has called in and said, I've tested positive. You've got to inform the other coworkers in that department that a person has notified you that they tested positive for COVID-19. Now, people are going to freak out. But look, if everybody's doing their social distancing, if people are wearing their mask at work, the chances that they even have it are probably very small. But that doesn't mean, you know how the work environment is. It's like kindergarten. Everybody's going to run around freaking out. All right? If somebody wants to get tested, they can, and the tests are free. You're welcome to get tested if you're concerned. All right? What we don't like are the calls that come in where somebody goes to work and parades around telling people, oh, I tested positive for COVID-19. Or I went by my parents' house and they tested, and I found out after I got over there, or I went over there because I had to take them something, and they tested positive. Why these people do things like that is beyond us. But those things happen also. You got to send them home immediately. Now, is anybody taking temperatures? Is anybody taking temperatures?
Yes.
Okay. Do you guys understand the risk of taking temperatures? First of all, the EEOC has said that it's okay for employers to take temperatures. That's the first thing. But let me just tell you a couple of things. One, the person taking the temperatures has got to be wearing protective equipment. So they've got to have on their gloves, their mask, the whole nine yards. Number two, when are they being tested? Are they being temperatures being tested? Is it before they clock in or after they clock in?
After.
Good. Now, if somebody has a high temperature, if you send them home, are you paying them or not paying them for 4 hours?
4 hours, yes. Yes.
The fourth is the 4 hours.
Yes.
All right? That is the safest course. I'm predicting some class action lawsuits because we did have some clients that were testing people before they clocked in. Now you got people waiting in line 15 minutes. You owe them 15 minutes worth of pay. Now temperatures, you guys, don't necessarily mean that somebody has COVID-19. There's a lot of reasons why people have temperatures, but it's okay to do it. Now, how are you recording the information? So if Jim's temperature is 100 degrees, what are you doing with the information?
Well, for our dealership, we have a log. So each department manager has their individual employees, and we have a weekly log, and we log their temperature. And if they have a temperature of over 140, we send them home. I mean, over 100, we send them home.
I was going to say, did you say 140?
Yeah, I didn't mean that. Yes, 100. 140, they're dead.
Right.
But we send them home.
First of all, the employer should put out a memo to everybody that if they have any symptoms, that mm-hmm. they should not be coming to work.
Right.
Okay, that's the first thing. And for them to call their healthcare provider. Now, you say you're keeping a log.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, that, again, opens up a whole different can of worms. But let's say somebody calls in. Let me back up for a second. You cannot tell people who it was that tested positive. The employees are probably right. going to figure it out anyway, but it's not for you to tell. Now, the log is okay, but keep in mind of HIPAA. That information has got to remain confidential. All right. Now, I don't know who gets the log. Okay. I don't know whether it's the same person that's doing the test. Is the same person doing the test or is the different managers doing different testing?
It's the, for us, it's the same manager doing the test every time. And then the log goes to the dealer. After the week is up, Tom George gets the log.
Only Tom George.
Yes.
Medical information, okay, especially to me, if somebody tested positive, you got to keep notes on this stuff. Especially somebody who tested positive, there should probably be a note put in their medical file, because that becomes a piece of their medical history with you. So the log is not going in, because
no.
You're keeping all the names in one book, so to speak.
Right. The log is not in their file. Correct.
Right. But I think that that somebody that tests positive, I think that you have to put the information in their medical file. And as you know, medical files are separate from personnel files.
Yes.
So a note should go in that file, in my opinion.
Yes.
Because what you don't want, let's just say something happens and somebody sues for some reason. Now, all of a sudden, where's the information kept? In a log. And now they subpoena the log, and you got to give the log with all of those names in there. You follow what I'm saying? And again, I'm just anticipating that's not maybe what you want. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
All right? So I predict there's going to be a class action lawsuit for all those employers that turned around and took temperatures and didn't pay these people. Now, absences and returning to work. Understand that the ADA in California and the California Family Rights Act, they allow employers to require medical certification. So let's talk about that. Medical certification. So here's somebody that tested positive, or they think that they're positive, or whatever the case may be. And now you do that 14-day, you know, stay away from work. So some employers, what they're saying, before the person come back, they want the person to come back with a medical certification. Now, like I said, under the ADA and under the California Family Rights Act, CFRA, it's okay for the employer to ask for the information. But what we're getting on the feedback is that, look, these healthcare providers are so busy, that employee might not be able to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is that you can ask for it. If you can get it, fine. But you can't hold it over their head like a hammer. I mean, if they've been gone for the 2 weeks, you know, because they were on the self-quarantine for 2 weeks or whatever the case may be, or if they had it, and then they've been and then it's over. The problem is that when you get to work, the other employees don't want to be around the person because they know they had it. So there's where training comes in. So one of the things that they're talking about is the fact that employers are going to actually have to give training to educate these people to understand what this is all about. Otherwise, you're going to have issues with your employees, et cetera. All right. Now, what you can do, if a certification is not possible, you can have the employee just create a form that they are saying that they no longer have COVID-19. You can do that. All right. That they no longer have the virus, or they no longer have the symptoms, because they may not have the virus, but they could have the symptoms. So you could just create a simple return to work form that they sign off on. All right. Now, here's a major concern. Your governor, not mine, yours, all right, turned around and signed an executive order that I think you guys, I put this on my blog. I don't know if everybody here saw my blog or whatever, that if an employee wants to claim that he or she got COVID-19 while at work, from mid-March until I think it is July 2nd, they're going to be able to apply for workers' comp in California. In addition to that, the burden is not going to be on the employee to prove that they got it at work. Newsom, in his executive order, has shifted the burden for the employer to prove that the person didn't get it at work. I mean, good luck with that. So obviously the workers' comp carriers are not happy, and they're trying to fight against this. We'll see how that turns out. But understand, you got to be careful. I'll get your question in a second. But just understand, you got to be careful, because once they do this and once they file, You got to watch that that retaliation nonsense. Yeah, go ahead. Question?
Yeah, so what we do is we take their temperature. As soon as they walk in the door, it takes 5 seconds, and then they go and clock in. We don't keep a log. As long as they don't have a fever and nobody has, you know, we just go on with our day.
You are taking medical information from an employee. When you take their temperature, you are acquiring medical information on those individuals. You have got to log the information. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, and that information needs to go in their individual medical file.
In my opinion, that would be correct because you're taking medical information from them.
And how much longer do we have to do this?
You guys are the ones deciding to do this. Let me ask you a question. What is the percentage on anybody, I'll ask you and Alin, on all of the temperatures that you've taken, how many of them have ever been, we'll just say over 100, but more importantly, out of that same group, how many of them ended up having COVID-19?
None and none.
So think about this. You're running a risk for percentages that are so very, 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 very low. You have more exposure the other way, in my opinion. You follow what I'm saying? Because this stuff has to be very detailed on how you're keeping this information.
We actually,
so nobody is, and quite frankly, it's going to get better than it is going to get worse. So I'm not going to advise you medically in terms of what to do, who's going to get it, how you. I'm not going to get into any and all of that, okay? But what we do know is that the more that people are able to associate and end these lockdowns, as a matter of fact, some of the states are already saying that those states that have ended the lockdown, that the number of cases are actually dropping. So you're going to see more and more where some of this is disappearing. Alin, what was your question?
I said we actually had one of our employees had a temperature, and we sent him home and paid him the 4 hours, but he did not end up having COVID-19. We also had an employee test that did have COVID-19. Tested positive. He called out sick. We made him take a test. He tested positive. He got the results a week later. We said, retest so you can come back. We have to have a negative before you can come back. He retested, got a negative. He came back. We just told everybody that he went through all the protocol. I wanted us to do individual health forms, which is what I was advised, but I was vetoed by our dealer. And the city of Pasadena recommended
to do the health form.
Yeah, Tom didn't want the health form. He just wanted the temperature log. But again, it's a form that it's a piece of paper and it's given to him and he's putting it in a folder. We have a COVID-19 folder, and when this is all over with, they'll be destroyed. I think.
First of all, I would not destroy it. But it's not illegal to destroy it.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. All right. As long as there's no case pending, technically you don't have to have document. I mean, if a case comes up, that's why when you get those attorney letters, what do they say? Do not destroy anything. Don't do anything before that. Okay. Once this issue is over, it's over. Okay. So from that perspective. But I'm not going to tell you I'm destroying or keeping it or anything. Huh?
Do you suggest that we continue taking temperatures? What if we don't want to take temperatures?
There's no legal requirement to take the temperatures. I think that there's more complications with taking them and then having not filed correctly, not followed the protocols because you're getting biometric information. There's cases out there on that. You follow what I'm saying? So. Look, you could call somebody else tomorrow, okay, and somebody files for workers' comp, and they swept them down, they got it at work, and now they want to say, well, what were you doing, Mr. Employer, to ensure that nobody, you know, was positive? Were you taking temperatures? Well, no, we stopped. Why'd you stop? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how this stuff works. So I don't know that there's a right way and a wrong way. I'm only saying that your exposure at this point might be greater with not following the guidelines for this biometric, you know, requirements when you take when you're taking medical information from people. It's like this thing with the hand scans. Some employers have hand scans, okay, and it came out that because of the hand scans, what are you how are you maintaining that information? You're taking biometric information from your employees. How is it being maintained? Where's the security? Where's this? Where's that? So those are the things, again, that you don't think about until these anal retentive plaintiff attorneys jump on board and they start ripping all this stuff apart. And I'm telling you, the lawsuits, in my opinion, are going to start flying when all this settles down. These guys are going to be coming after employers for every little thing that they can. So it's hard, Colleen, to say whether or not you should stop taking the temperatures. You know, I would say have a cutoff date. Because if nothing else, the way that this is going, okay, the number of cases are dropping, and especially in different areas. So at some point, I would say, I mean, you can't take temperatures forever. So I would put a date out there that at least we did it, you know, during the hot time, you follow what I'm saying, during the hot spot time. So during April and May, we took temperatures. But when they released everybody back out into the public, basically, and the lockdown was over, we stopped taking temperatures. At least you did something. You follow what I'm saying? At that point. And there's no way to tell when they would have gotten it. So I'd put a, I would just set a date on it and go with that. You can't take them forever anyway. Now, let me just tell you that when a state of emergency is declared, as in the case of COVID-19, reporting time pay does not apply, okay, technically. But, again, I don't know what these anal attorney, plaintiff attorneys are going to want to do, so I still say, you know what, it's just as simple as paying for the 4 hours. It's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Now, have you guys had anybody working from home during this process?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Anybody had anybody working from home, just keep in mind Labor Code Section 2802, all right? Labor Code Section 2802 is very specific that an employer has to reimburse employees for their expenses, all right? If you've got Jim working at home, you're using Jim's electricity, Jim's computer. You guys see what I'm saying? It's more than just you paying him for his time. So what about paper? If they have to print out the paper because they got to print something out, what about their internet expense because they've been emailing things back and forth? And even the ink that they have to use to print the paper out. So it's what you have to do, in my opinion, is simply give them a negotiated amount. Okay, I mean, some of that's going to be hard to tell. I mean, how are you going to tell on electricity how much electricity the person used? So I would turn around after the person gets recalled, as an example, and say, okay, Jim, here's what we're going to do. You know, you're obviously at home. You know, you're using some electricity. You're doing this. You're doing that. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we want to be able to reimburse you for your expenses. Give us a reasonable amount. Okay, and we'll cut you a check. That's what I would say. And if you get a check back and somebody says, well, you owe me $3,000, say, no, now you got to give me an itemized statement on how you came up with the $3,000. I don't think that's unfair. That's why I say at that point it becomes a negotiated amount. He turns around and gives you, you know, okay, you know what? Give me $250 and we're good. Okay, that's fine. You cut the check and you say worked at home expenses. So as you put the label on there, so that later on you're able to show that $250 was for at-home expenses, you know, when they had to be at home, teleworking. All right? And don't forget mail costs also. I don't know if they have to mail anything in or do any of those kind of things. any mileage. I don't think that they would have to go and meet with anybody because everybody was maintaining social distances. So I don't think that that's as much of a problem. But just remember, this is one of those hidden areas, once again, that could come back to roost if you're not careful. All right? Yeah, okay. All right. Let's look over my notes to see if there's anything else in particular.
I'd like to ask a question. What about the employees who got hours cut or their wages because we're not making as much money? So now, like, let's say Jim makes $3,000 a paycheck, but now you're only making $1,500. Are they entitled to unemployment?
Yes.
And are we supposed to let you know that we have people?
Excuse me?
So if I have, like, if Jim is applying for unemployment because for lost wages, am I supposed to let you know that Jim lost wages and he's going to be applying for unemployment?
Yes, no. What you're going to do, not on the lost wages side, okay? If he files for unemployment, we're going to get the claim. That's what happens is that it's reduced hours. So it's what some people were doing was saying, okay, you know what? Instead of working 40 hours, you're going to work 20 hours a week. That's turning them into a part-time worker, and they are eligible for unemployment. The state goes through a calculation, and we do too, that determines how much they're eligible for. So even though they're collecting wages, they're going to collect a piece for the loss in hours.
Okay.
That's how that works. Matter of fact, we had a meeting today, and we were talking about that very same thing. So reduced hours. Now, if they're working a 40-hour work week still, but because no customers are walking through the door, so Jim ordinarily, let's say, works out that he gets $5,000 a month because, you know, he's, you know, gets commission, gets this, but he's still working those 40 hours, then it's going to be tough for him to apply for unemployment because, once again, I mean, he can do it. I don't know where that's going to go for him because he's still a full-time employee. He's just not making as much money. And that's why some of them have gone to the employer and said, hey, just lay me off because I'll be getting more money on the unemployment.
Okay. Because we actually have some of our salespeople are because they're not making as much money. Have applied for unemployment. And then they're telling me it's not fair. I'm not making as much money, but EDD is saying I'm making too much money. So they're not giving me any money.
That's right. I told you it's a calculation that they go through.
Right.
And that's why some of them are saying, just lay me off. I'm going to make more money being on unemployment because most of them will qualify for the maximum amount, which is $450 a week. You put $600 on top of that. They're getting $1,050 a week times four. That's why it's hard to get them back to work. They have $4,000 for staying at home.
Okay.
How much longer do you think we're going to be doing these video conferences, by the way? Next 3 or 4 months? Or is this going to be the wave of the future, people?
Don't everybody
speak up at once.
I have most everybody's on mute. So if you guys want to unmute
at least
yourself,
a year. Yeah. 1 year is what I say.
At least till August.
At least till August. Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, you think about it, right? Like we met at Damon Steakhouse. Right. So that was our monthly meetings. But you have to be 6 feet apart. So how do you have 12 people in a meeting? You can't.
Well, that's true. But it's also the restaurant's going to be an issue.
Right.
Because the restaurant may say, too many people.
Right.
So we'll have to wait.
Right. I think that this is going to be the new norm. And unfortunately or fortunately for Doma, I guess the way you want to look at it is we're an organization that's nonprofit and we have bills associated with our organization. And because we're not having conference and because we're not doing different things, we're having to come up with ways to make money to pay our bills. We're going to be doing fundraisers and stuff. And, you know, each chapter might have a little bit of money, but the executive board doesn't. I mean, and it's unfortunate, but what else can you do? I mean, we might have to, you know, depending on what kind of meetings we have, we might have to charge for these conference or for these Uber meetings.
Well, you know what's going to happen. You start charging for these meetings, you're going to lose people.
Right. Exactly.
Because the dealerships, you know, the dealerships, you know, financially, I mean, everybody's trying to, you know, so you're going to end up losing people by doing it that way. So something else has to be a little bit more creative. Look, I have a webinar that I've created, guys. So just to put you on notice on that, you'll be getting something from me. Basically, it's on the impact of COVID-19 on the workplace. It's about an hour webinar that we're going to be doing. All right. You'll be getting some information on us out there, other things that you should know. This is just the unemployment stuff, basically, we talked about today. But there'll be some things associated with that. We're also, I'm finalizing a training program because people have also been asking me about training for employees and managers. And part of the webinar is going to be on how to manage people during this pandemic because, again, it's going to be a long time before everything is quote unquote back to normal, if ever. So the webinar is going to address how you interact with your staff, how you do this, how you address certain issues and things of that nature. So just to let you know, we'll be sending some information out on that. Okay. We'll go from there.
I wanted to
so
bring
the training for the employees, the training for the employees, I'm going to have that completed probably by the end of next week. But I got to talk to Brenda because I think I'm going to set it up on our website that they can, just like the employee training for the sexual harassment,
mm-hmm.
We're probably going to set it up online. You know, if an employer wants to try to do it, you know, by virtual conference, that's one thing. But you got a lot of employees. I don't know how you're going to be able to do that. I think it's easier just to do it the other way. You know, it's a small fee, you know, I think it's like 10 bucks an employee or something like that. But people are going to be asking you whether or not you've trained your people and all of that kind of good stuff. But I'll be in touch with you about any of that.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions about any of this?
Yeah,
go ahead, Colleen.
Okay, so I just wanted to make the comment. We had a couple of people when the book came out that wanted to not work because they were afraid of the COVID-19. So they just stay home for 30 days, 60 days. So a couple of them were not over the age group that they stated. They were maybe in the late 50s. So what we did was we laid them off because we had other people that just wanted to not come into work, like younger employees didn't want to come into work, but there was work available for them. So we couldn't allow these older people to just go ahead and stay home without laying them off, without also, you know, laying off the younger people, because you have to treat them all the same. So I don't know if you need a doctor's note or if they're on a. So anyway.
Well, why would they need? No. Remember what I told you about earlier? I called it, you know, the self check or whatever. If they just come to you and tell you that they have these concerns, end of story. You got to accept it for what it is. That's the tough part of all of this because, you know, people have their fears about all of this. People in the protected age group, you know, wanting to make sure that they don't get it. I mean, I've been working, you know, from day one. I mean, I've had to, you know, stay in touch with clients regarding state guidelines, federal guidelines, city guidelines, county guidelines. Mm-hmm. So for the first few weeks, even though I was working from home, I mean, I was still getting calls, still getting emails, you know, all of that. But in the same token, I have just about, because of all the doggone honeydews, I got to tell you, I can't wait to get back full time. I think I rebuilt this whole house. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, so Jim?
Hey, remodeling bathrooms, redoing this, redoing that. We've had a good time with all this, but we haven't lost any work because people still call. I still get emails. So people are trying to be safe, and that's what everybody wants to do. So if somebody has a concern, that's what they need to do.
There is somebody else trying to ask a question, and I tried to look, and you should be unmuted. So, Sherry, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, but nobody hears me.
We hear you.
No, I see the question. Okay, Jim, is the $600 additional to the maximum unemployment weekly amount taxable to the employee? You know what? I don't know yet. I think it's income, so unemployment, in my opinion, were already there because I think unemployment goes towards that. So I would say probably so. Look, this country taxes everybody for everything. But who knows? They could turn around and say, you know what? The $600 is forgiven. Because remember, that's by the federal government. You got two different things going on. You got the state paying a part of it, and you got the feds paying a part of it. So the state's definitely not going to tax them on it, okay? Although technically it's income, we have to wait and see. But on the federal side, who knows what they're going to be able to claim or not claim. I look at it like it's probably going to be free money. I can't imagine them taxing them for that money, but we'll see.
Hi, Jim, it's Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. So we got the temperature thing yesterday, and Mary sent out a message that everyone was to stop and have their temperature taken and then put it on their time card when they clock in the number, what the number was.
Okay. Hold on, people. The time cards are by the front door. Everybody walks in and punches in and out on their time card?
No, you clock in and out on the computer.
Okay, and how is it being put on? How is that being written on there?
There's a section on there for comments. Like if you're late or something, you can put, I went to the doctor or something. So she wants you to put in there what your temperature number was, like 98 or whatever. That's what she told us to do. And she said it was because it was one of the requirements to reopen in California, your business, was that you had to take your employees' temperatures, period. That's what she told us.
Who's she?
Mary Smith.
Oh, Mary Smith. Okay. Look, let me tell you something. I tell clients, this whole business is like a jigsaw puzzle. There's so much information flying around. Okay, and some of the stuff changes day by day. Putting it on the record, in my opinion, that it's not something that's going to be viewed to other people, I think that's fine. That's a recording. Because remember what we talked about. You've got to be able to have something that you're recording the information, but it's kept in a confidential nature. The biggest thing is that it's kept in a confidential nature. Okay, so if nobody has access to it, it's only associated with the employee.
Right.
You've got a note, you know, then, again, you know, that should be fine. But, you know, again, who knows later on?
Yeah.
What somebody may claim. I got another question that popped up. Jim, regarding the employee we sent home because he visited his parents, it looks like, who have COVID, the 2 weeks, we are paying his sick leave. Well, I pay 8 hours. He's only working 5 hours a day. No, he's only working. You're paying what he's working. So if he only works 5 hours a day, he only gets five hours worth of pay. He doesn't get 8 hours. You're welcome.
So there's two ways to ask a question. If you want to ask a question, you can do it in the chat, or I can unmute everybody. The only problem with unmuting everybody is there's a lot of feedback. So the people that are on video, if you shake
have
your hand.
Have them do it the way this other person did it, because some things may be confidential, and I'm just answering the question. I don't know if it shows up for everybody or not. So
it does.
Oh, it does. Okay, then it's not confidential. Okay.
So I will unmute everybody, so they can ask questions, and then if there's no more questions, we will end the call.
Please explain how we get to take credit on the federal taxes for the 2 weeks the employee's off, if possible. I can't answer that. I really don't know in terms of the federal taxes, okay, on how that's going to work. I know there's information out there regarding the federal taxes. I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to tell you something wrong. So, Patty, send me an email tomorrow, and I'll look it up.
So, Jim, I got a guy who's scared to come to work, but I've been paying him just so I can keep up with my PPE. Is that okay?
Yeah, you know what? That's kind of garbled. I couldn't catch that. Put it. Do me a favor. Type it, okay? And then
okay.
I'll answer it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Way. Hey, by the way, while that's happening, we're going to be doing management training. People have been asking about doing the sexual harassment training. Starting next week, it looks like I'm going to be doing a 2-hour sexual harassment training for managers. So if anybody hasn't had this done, we're doing it the same way that we're doing it right now. It'll be done on Zoom, and we'll be doing it the same way. So just to let you know. Are there any other questions or comments?
Thank you.
Who's the speaker next month?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
All I'm right. still working on that.
I was curious, that's all.
You available?
Any ideas?
I'm always available. You guys know that. I can always come up with a topic to talk to you guys about.
You know.
I mean, you guys can send me emails between now and next month, you know, with different, because you know you're going to get different questions and scenarios, so it doesn't matter, you know. You look it up at that time. It's up to you. It doesn't matter. I'm good either way.
Okay, so does anybody else have any questions? I tried to unmute everybody, but there was too much feedback, so everybody is muted. Oh, here's one. One came in, Jim. Oh, it was just a thank you.
Okay, listen, before I forget. So the conference is obviously definitely canceled, correct?
Yes.
Okay, question. What if a person refuses to have their temperature taken? To me, they can do that. End of story. We're not forcing. And
there was,
some people have done that.
There is another question in there from Sharon, the one that was trying to ask you the question.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see it now. All right. Yeah, I have an employee who is scared to come to work. So I've been paying him 30 hours a week to keep him on my payroll. I know what you're doing, yeah. And I have an employee who just self-terminated. Okay. So what is the question, though? The one that you're paying, yeah, I mean, you're going to continue paying him 30 hours a week. I guess you're doing that because of the fact that you got the forgiveness. Is that what's happening? I mean, the payroll protection plan? So if that's the case, I understand, because you want to make sure. And for those of you, by the way, who did get the payroll protection plan, keep something in mind. You've got, after the end of 60 days, at the end of those 8 weeks, any money that you didn't use, you got to be careful. Because you want to make sure that you get the grant and it doesn't turn into a loan. And at the end of the 60 days, you've got to actually apply. Submit an application to have it forgiven as which would turn it into a grant. So you got to apply for that. It's not going to be automatic. And make sure that you follow the guidelines on the 75%. That's why I think you're doing the 30 hours to make sure that you don't violate that PPP. So I get that. That employee is just making out, talking about they're scared to come to work. Hey, look, scared to come to work is still getting a paycheck. It's easy to see, but in my opinion, that person would not be eligible, or they would have to file for unemployment because they feel that they don't want to come to work. I don't think that you have to pay them the 30 hours, but I understand why you're paying the 30 hours, but that's not what you have to do. They can apply. The other person self-terminated. Well, look, if they self-terminated, you make, you know, a a note of the fact they self-terminated, which had nothing to do with you.
Hey, group, this is Steve Pedraza. When it comes to the PPP protection, the 75%, if a person does terminate, the forgiveness does allow for you to acknowledge that they voluntarily quit. And that is still part of your headcount that you have to provide when you request forgiveness. In addition, there's a novel strategy out there that for those who can't make the 75% on payroll only, you can make an employer contribution to your 401k because it allows that. And when you're accounting for your benefits as part of that 75%, understand it's the employer portion only, not the full bill, because some of that might be shared by your employees. If you have a $10,000 bill, but you're only picking up half of it, what you count towards your 75% is the 50% you're paying as the employer portion. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, Steve, that's good information. But back up for a second. What did you say about the 401k?
Let's say, for example, an employer, in using just the payroll portion only, does not get to the 75%. Because remember, the loans that were given were 2.5 times the average. So you might not have enough in just payroll. So one of the novel strategies out there, because you're allowed to use your employer contribution towards your 401k, so you can make a one-time lump sum, whatever the difference is, to get you to that 75% if you've got no other legitimate expenses that you can use towards that qualification of 75%.
Right. Yeah, my general manager is releasing the name of the employees that are not coming back. We did not pay their vacation, and they owe medical for 2 months. Yes, medical can be deducted from their final checks because that's something that is authorized. They signed, and that's their obligation, and they could have benefited by it. So in my opinion, that would not be illegal. I would fight that all day long at the labor board if it came up. But if you're releasing them, you got to pay that vacation.
Okay, do we have any more questions? If not, we're going to end this.
You guys have my email address anyway, so if something comes up after the meeting, you guys can always email me. Not a problem.
All right, well, I want to thank you, Jim, very much for this. It was great.
Hey, no problem. Have a nice holiday, everybody.
All right, thank you.
I'll be working around the house.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome,
guys. Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you.